Welcome, Hope Come Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor with where we are equipped to nurture the hope of Christ in our homes. And I'm so excited to have here today, Alisa Pulliam. I'm really excited to have her here today, and I'm going to get her to introduce herself to you.
Yeah, sure. So I go by Lisa, drop the E with my anchor, so you can just call me Lisa. And I am the founder of moretobe.com, where we help women have a fresh encounter with God and His Word, so that those women, so that you can live transformed and impact the world with kingdom hope, including your kids, and align your life with God's best. And so we do that through coaching and coach training primarily, and a number of resources just help you grow in your faith. So that's my business side. My personal side is that I am a wife of almost 24 years, which is amazing. Totally new legacy being written in our marriage. And my children, I have an adult daughter who graduated from college. She's 20. My second is 18, and she's waited her whole life to be grown up. So this is awesome. She's going into her second year of college. And then the twins, boy and girl, will be 15 in 2 weeks. And when I'm not spending time with them, you can find me at the horse farm, horseback riding, or mentoring teenage girls.
You are so like diverse and busy, and I love it. Like you just,
yes.
The horse farm, like that's cool.
yeah. That's my favorite place.
Has it that been something that you wanted to do for a long time, or did you grow up with horses or?
Right. So I know, cause this is new since we first met. So I grew up around horses. My uncle had horses. I rode during summer camp. It was very much a part of my passion. My dream from the time I was 8 was that I would grow up and live on a property where I'd have to ride my horse to the mailbox. But I got married, and we ended up living at a boarding school. And at the boarding school, there was no way to have horses. And 5 years ago, we were relocated to where we are now. And I live in the middle of horse country. And about a year ago, I met a gal who said to me, "My horses are your horses," and became friends with Shelly and joined her work at Locust Lane Riding Center, which is an equine assisted learning and therapy facility program. So we concentrate on helping kids develop resilience and families overcome adverse experiences. And I've become very much involved in equine assisted therapy and coaching. So I'm getting my certification as a trauma focused equine assisted coach and equine specialist.
That is so cool. I love how God just takes those little things that we love as a kid and want dream. And he just kind of like, it's like, well, look at how you're going to help other people through this. Like years, decades later.
That's it's amazing. And even like 2 years ago, I had a lot of injuries and a lot of health issues and had completely resigned myself to the fact that I was never going to ride again and that I would not be able to work with horses and I needed to completely surrender this dream. And then it was like less than a year later, the Lord basically, it felt like an Abraham and Isaac situation where I just laid it at the altar and said confidently, "I give this up, Lord." And then he gave it back to me better than I could ever imagine.
Because he does that. So cool.
Yeah, it's really phenomenal.
Very cool. So in the midst of helping so many other people and raising 4 kids and being a wife and I've written some books too and running your business, how do you connect with God every day? Like just as you.
As me. I was just thinking about this over the weekend. Basically, the Lord wakes me up at like 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and which is crazy because everybody's sleeping in. I could sleep in until 9, right? Mm-hmm. But at 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings, my eyes are bright eyed and I'm like, "Lord, it's our time." And I grab my cup of coffee, get the dog, his breakfast, and sit really long with God and just spend time in the Word that way. And that to me has become, it's like drinking from a fountain because it's unrushed. So every day I try to start the day with reading my Bible, a chapter, a couple chapters a day, and praying in my prayer journal. But it's those extended times that I'm not rushed that feel the most sacred, the most filling for me.
I remember you said something about that to me once, that like you continue to pursue those little moments, but then looking for those times when you could spend more time and leaning into that and going, oh yeah, I will spend more time here. I've been thinking about that for a long time.
yeah. It's become more about the relationship. Am I present with God or am I task focused? And that's actually a byproduct of the equine work of realizing when you're working with a horse, if you're task focused, they will check out and resist. But when you're relationship focused, they will be very present with you. And so they don't lie. Whereas human to human, we fake it. Like we could be task focused, but tell somebody that we're really interested in being present with them, but not get the feedback to tell us otherwise. And so that has made me realize, is God somebody I'm in a relationship with, or is he on my to-do list? And I think that's a huge, huge thing.
So then you make that time to be specifically with him, but then does that kind of come back throughout your day as well? Do you find that helps you be more in relationship with God throughout the day if you've taken some specific time?
Both. And so sometimes, like most mamas, I could have this glorious quiet time with the Lord and then be a wretch 20 minutes later. And I'm like, what on earth? I was just like, you know, polishing my halo 20 minutes ago. And now I want to eat my children. And so how does it go that way? But that's our human nature. So there are times that I will pause throughout the day and be cognizant to pray. If I'm really anxious or stressed, like before we got on, I was telling you, I was waiting for some news, like a day like today where I feel the agitation, I'll grab my prayer journal at 2 p.m. and just start writing in it. Mm-hmm. If that's what it takes. I've gotten really good at, I paid for Spotify so that I could download worship music and take it with me wherever I go. Mm-hmm. And that's been interesting the last month of really realizing how much music leads me into the heart of worship. And I would have told you before that I didn't need that. And now I realize I do need that. I need something to shift my brain to make me more present.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that either. Like maybe it's easy to think, oh, we don't need that. That's a crutch. Or, you know, I can just get into God's presence. But
yeah,
that's all just emotionalism or something. But you're right. It does kind of help us shift our brains.
Yeah. Yeah. So
through this going through and, you know, meeting with God regularly and letting him change you and shape you, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit in our membership site since like last September. So tell us, how has God helped you grow in the fruit of the Spirit?
Yes. I looked at that question and I was like, oh my word, how far back do I go? Like, what do I say? So I know this, I have been a believer for 27 years. And the only reason I know the number is because I was praying for the salvation of my mom and my dad and my sister. And I was like, Lord, how many years have I actually been praying for this? And it's been 27 years since I came to know the Lord. I just wrote it down yesterday. And so in that 27 years, the transformation has been so profound. I mean, at first it was obviously like salvation and that Jesus became my Lord and Savior, and it became very practical. Well, what does Jesus do and how do I live like him? And the outward changed. So learned how to stop cursing and, you know, be kind and some of these, go to church, go to Bible study. But it was about a decade into my walk with the Lord that I had to deal with the inward person. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Ezekiel 36:26 says that God will change a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And my heart was stone and needed flesh. So at that time, the fruit of the Spirit in my life was not very obvious because God wasn't fully dwelling on the inside. Mm-hmm. His love wasn't penetrating. My self-control didn't exist because I was operating out of the overflow of my heart, which was hard. So through counseling and through study of God's word and through the support of my husband and a really core group of friends that covered me in prayer over about 3 or 4 years, I went through a tremendous healing journey and healed from the diagnosis of PTSD, so post-traumatic stress disorder. Wow. And that was a byproduct of being emotionally and physically abused as a child. That in the ages of my kids, that was triggering the pain from my past. And so the therapy helped in that healing, and I began to walk through forgiveness of my parents, which relieved a lot of the angst and anger, and receiving God's forgiveness over my own behavior and the things that I did that I had much shame and guilt around. And in that process, the fruit began to blossom. And so there was the beginning of self-control. There was the beginning of kindness and patience. And really, I feel like what accelerated it was spending a pretty profound time in the last 2 or 3 years studying God's love and receiving it in every aspect of it. And the more secure I have felt in his love, the more loving I have become. The more secure I am in believing that he is good. And I mean, we're studying the names and the attributes of God, because I still have so much to learn. But the more I trust God, the more I'm able to extend this kind of kindness that I want to extend to other people, because I don't have to control them. I don't have to control other people's behavior to deal with what's going on inside of me. And I don't have to, I can just be more loving and more gracious with my children and my friends and my husband. And just is an overflow thing. It's not a effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good that you said, like, the love first, when we really experience his, like, specific love for us, that makes the difference. It was interesting when you said you were operating out of the overflow of your heart, which was hard. I never thought about, we're always operating out of the overflow of our heart. I just always assumed it was only the good stuff. But yeah, the bad stuff comes out too.
Right. I mean, it was angry. It was bitter. It was scared. Right. And so anger, my biggest struggle in my adult life has been anger. And that is, you know, of course, a byproduct of abuse. Also, my personality is strong and fierce, and it would have been no matter what, I think. But anger is a secondary emotion. Fear is usually what is causing that emotion. And so fear, perfect love, casts out fear. So when the more I know God's love, the less afraid I have to be.
Yeah, the verse that we've been memorizing this month is that God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control.
Amen.
All those things are tied back into fear. We were having some stuff going on in our church right now, and I was telling my husband, this is all connected to fear. Like, I think that's like almost all of our sin comes from, is from being afraid.
I do think so. Yep, I absolutely think so.
So God helps us with those things. Yeah. So, did your children notice anything about you being different, or were they young enough when you started to change that?
Oh, dear. Yes.
Sorry.
No, this is good, because these mamas need to hear this. This is the best part of really my story, is that, so my older two, when I started going through counseling, they were 10 and 8, and then the twins would have been 4. And so the girls remember old mommy. Wow. But the twins, not so much. And yet there was this one moment, and I've told this story before if anybody's heard it, that we had moved into this house 5 years ago, and I was upstairs, and I heard this crash, and my son, like, yelp, you know, like, I was like, oh my word, what just happened? I go running down the stairs, and he had was washing the crock pot, and it dropped and cracked in the sink. And I was like, oh, are you okay? He goes, yes, I'm okay, but looked at me like terrified. I'm like, what's wrong? I'm just worried if you're okay. He's like, you're not going to yell at me? I was like, oh. And I looked at him and started to cry, and he looked at me and started to cry. We were on the floor. I sat down on the floor, and I'm like, buddy, I'm so sorry that you have lived with the fear that I would yell at you over a piece of cracked ceramic. And he's like, I know, Mom, right? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, look what's happened. And he said, Mom, God has changed you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I said, yes, he has. And do you know what that means, Luke? And he says, God changes people. Mm-hmm. So I am so insanely grateful that the transformation happened at a point in which all of my children have walked away with an understanding that God changes you. But that has not minimized necessarily the impact it had on my children. So my middle daughter, as a matter of fact, she's the one that had the toughest time with it when she's now 18, when she was 16 or 17, because she saw my relationship with the twins and actually said to me at one point in anger, "It's not fair that they have who you are now as a mom, and I didn't have that at their age." And had a lot of anger and frustration. I mean, at one point, four of the six of us were in therapy. I mean, because she needed somebody to process that through with. My anger, my temper impacted her life. And, you know, I never physically abused her. One might not say I even emotionally abused her, but she lived in fear of my anger. And that's not healthy. It's a toxic environment. And I've had to ask for forgiveness. I've had to give her support as she's gone for help. And praise the Lord, she's 18 and all's fine, right? Mm. Like, there's no bitterness, there's no anger. There's a tremendous amount of compassion and grace from her towards me now, at understanding that I didn't have the support or the knowledge or even the insight in my first 10 years of motherhood to know it was smart and wise to get help, and that what I grew up in was dysfunctional, and that there was hope for change. And so
that is so amazing that, you know, we can be a Christian and be saved by the grace of Jesus and still not have his transforming power in our lives. That's so, yes. I mean, we've all experienced that, right? Where we're just like, I think I'm just believing the words and not really letting Jesus work in my heart. That's why we spend so much time working, or, you know, seeing Jesus exhibit the fruit of the Spirit toward us and toward other people.
Well, so let me add something to that. In this last year of training for this trauma-focused training, I've come to see like a real hole, I think, in our evangelical culture. And that is that we don't understand how God designed our brains for healing and the power of relationship. So I'll give you a little science here.
And this is really, bring it on.
This is really simplified. And it's from a model that's out there from a psychologist called Bruce Perry. His name's Bruce Perry. So if this is your brain, here's your brainstem. And this is where we experience fight, flight, or freeze, right? So any threat of harm, our brain is designed by God to respond in a way that protects. So any trauma, which could be a one-time event or a series of events, can get us stuck in our brainstem and develop a pattern of behavior. The next level up is called the diencephalon, which is our sensory motor. So, and it's our sensations. It's what we, hot, cold, tingly, stomach flipping when we're waiting for, you know, news about something. But it's also when that baby cries and the mama responds to that baby, picks up that baby and starts doing this rocking motion. That is activating the sensory motor. And has any mom ever been told that they should rock a baby when they pick that baby up? It's just the way God made us. We just do it. So the next layer up is the limbic system, and that's our emotions. That's what we feel. Feel scared, feel happy, feel alone, feel whatever. And so it's also the relationship connector. So when mama's going like this, rocking the baby and starts whispering and talking, it's activating the brain up the brainstem out of fear into movement, into connection. And then the top part of the brain is the neocortex. That's where our cognitive reasoning takes place. So when the baby goes, now you know they've just moved into the top part of the brain, and that's where our beliefs are formed. So I'm safe when my mom picks me up and rocks me. And it's called an integrated brain. And God has designed this integrated brain for us to find our way forward out of fear and into healing and wholeness and connectedness. The problem, in my opinion, in the evangelical world, we think we just need to think the right thoughts. We just need to believe the scripture. By faith, we need to believe, but completely disconnected from the rest of the body.
Right?
So there's not an acknowledgement of our fears, because that makes us weak in our faith. There's not an acknowledgement of our pain, because I'm not supposed to blame, I'm supposed to forgive and move on. right? There's parts of our life that we sequester off trying to be the godly Christian woman that we think we're supposed to be by action. And yet we've disengaged not only our fears and our feelings, but our connected relationships. And so therapy worked for me because I was in the presence of a godly woman who prayed over me and spoke truth over me and showed me love in a way that I deeply needed, and was surrounded by that with my husband, with this core group of women that were all saying, we love you. We are the body of Christ loving you. And God was healing my brain through that.
Wow.
And then I was able to believe he is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do.
That's right. Yes, you have to get past that fear. And so that's why perfect love casts out fear. And we need to get past, we need to trust in God's love for us. But
yeah,
for some it's a lot harder than for others because of
where we're stuck.
Right? Or the history that we have. Or wow.
Right.
That was great. Right. I love that.
Thank you. Well, I love learning, so I love sharing what I learned.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have any advice or encouragement for moms who want to share God's love with their kids, but maybe they're feeling a little stuck?
Yeah. Make it your own first. Mm-hmm. Make it authentic. Get in the Word. Get healed. Like, you know, they say when you get on a plane, the steward or stewardess who says, put your oxygen mask on first before you put it on your child. So take care of your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. And from the overflow of that stewardship, then pour that into your kids in as organic as a way as possible. For me, we were never fantastic at devotions or Bible study. Different seasons called for different times. And I was just looking, like, we haven't had a family devotion time in a while, but we're doing Sunday church together at home in this quarantine. So, and our dinner time conversations are very much focused on what is God doing and how is he moving? And you know, when we pray, there's a need, we pray in the moment. Like, we don't need to set a time. We don't need to set aside time to pray because we pray as time demands. Right. Mm-hmm. And so as organic as Deuteronomy talks about when you're walking and when you're lying down and when you're standing and when you're driving, you know, to wherever.
Did you find it was always like that? Did it always just kind of came up naturally, or did it ever feel awkward for you?
No, I was always really hungry for how to impart my faith onto the kids because I didn't have that growing up. Mm. So there was a pressure to keep learning and growing for myself in order to have something to give them.
Yeah. Well, and you're naturally the kind of person that you learn something and then you want to share it with somebody too, right? So
yeah.
That helps.
Yeah. That helps.
Look about this thing that I read this morning.
They're like, I know, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, sometimes to a fault. They're like, stop, Mom.
My kids probably sometimes do. So did you have anything left that you wanted to say before we wrap up?
Well, there was one, you know, in your question when you said, you gave me these questions ahead of time. What about the business of life? Like, how do you connect with God? I'd say the one big conviction over the last year has been Sabbath, and that I wish I would have done it in a disciplined way years ago. And a book that's really influenced me is Emotionally Healthy Leadership by Peter Scazzaro. And it was reading his description of how to practice Sabbath that kind of freed me from what felt like restrictions into opportunities. And so, you know, Sabbath has, for me, become a freedom to not do my paid work or my home work, right? So, like, I would stop the more to be work on Saturday evening, but then I would spend Sunday cleaning and folding laundry and doing household chores and doing the bills and all these things. And so I felt like I never really had a day off to myself, or a day for pleasure, or a day for rest, whatever it was. And so now, like, even my 18-year-old, she's called me out a couple times in the last few weeks, like, Mom, why are you pulling weeds? That is not Sabbath.
Oh.
And I was like, well, right now might not be Sabbath for you, but I'm really enjoying being outside. And so this doesn't feel like a burden. This feels cathartic and physically active. It's very different from everything else I do. But giving myself space to choose the things that feel Sabbath, and even saying to, like, my son will often be like, do you want to go like do this with me right now? I'm like, that doesn't feel Sabbathy, bud. Like, or Caitlin. Caitlin will say, can we go shopping? I'm like, no.
No.
Right? When, if that's your idea of Sabbath rest, when you're old enough to drive, go have at it. But for me, that's draining and I'm not doing that today. Mm. And so honoring those boundaries have been really important.
Yeah. That is something we don't talk about very often.
No, no. Well, we've got a bunch of,
I was going to say, I've seen you sharing about it on Facebook and in your emails and it's, I think recently too, but
yeah. Yeah. It's been life giving.
So how do you do that if your kids are like tiny?
Well, I think it's the creativity part of what are built-in times in your week that enable you to trust God for his provisions and find time to physically rest your body, emotionally rest your body, and refill yourself in connectedness with your family and friends and with God, and even kind of connectedness with self. So is it fun to pack the kids in the car and go to the beach or the pool or, you know, do some activity? I don't know. For me, that I would have told you no, like that's work. That's not fun. Yeah. Is getting a babysitter to give me 2 or 3 hours out with my husband a form of rest and Sabbath? Yes. So maybe in the early stages of life, I would have had to say first and third Sundays a month, those Sabbath days are going to look like this. And, you know, second and fourth Sabbaths are going to look like this, and be free to create those times of refueling and rest.
That's really wise. Thanks. Thanks for sharing about that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So we are going to wrap up here right away. But before we do, tell us a little bit about where we can find you, your ministry, your books.
Yeah, sure. So easiest place is moretobe.com, and that's T-O. It's a name that comes from a passage in 2 Corinthians. It's about becoming more bright, more beautiful, more like Jesus is really what more to be is about. And learning to be, just be with him. And so that is where you can find me, and I'm on socials, More to Be on Facebook, and then Elisa Pulliam on Instagram and Elisa Pulliam on Pinterest. And you can find coaching, coach training, Bible study resources all at moretobe.com.
Okay. Awesome. And some devotional books too. And
yeah. Yep. So Unblinded Faith is a 90-day devotional. That's wherever books are sold. I think it's still available on Amazon. And then Meet the New You is also a really helpful book for kind of defining how you want to live and how you can line your life up with God's best.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks.